Allison.
Evan.
In getting here, I didn't ask for you.
You absolutely did.
I did not. I don't know how we ended up in this situation. But nevertheless, here we are.
Here we are.
Episode 3 of this season of Batch Please. I'm Evan Delaney.
I'm Allison Gunnell.
And we are coming off of episode 3 of Katie's journey in The Bachelorette.
An incredibly emotional episode. I'm still trying to get back
You had tears, and I probably got the closest I ever got to crying in front of you, minus that trip in New York that we all took.
That was definitely just the top.
For another time. But yeah, wow.
It was emotional.
What an emotional ride this episode was.
It was, yeah.
So let's begin, because it's weird the way that this episode started to where the episode actually ended, because we start with just what now in retrospect just seems like absolute, even at the time it was absolute nonsense, but such insignificant like drama with Carl and the rose ceremony and him kind of stirring the pot. Ultimately what happened is that they cut right to the rose ceremony. The guys are all clearly upset with Carl. She calls Mike up for a rose. Virgin Mike, not the other Michael, that which we learned about a little bit later.
Right, so that was really...
Definitely not a virgin because the Michael has a child.
Having a child, correct. So the Mike thing was very interesting. He walked up to her, and at first I honestly thought he was going to not accept the rose. I was like trying to figure out what was happening.
I didn't get those vibes, but I knew something was weird.
Something was weird, and he was like, look, I hate to like do this to you right now, but I want you to know that what Carl said to you, which is basically, essentially, that there are people here not for right reasons, whatever... He's like, what Carl said to you was not true. We all stand in solidarity when we say that we all are on the same page, that he's the one who's not here for the right reasons. Like, no one else thinks that. And so she was like, does everyone else believe that? And every other guy was like, yeah, for sure. So then she excused herself for a minute.
Has this ever happened at a rose ceremony? I know it's happened before in terms of, like, a guy will approach... the lead, or a girl will approach the lead and say, like, hey, we're all kind of against this person. It sort of happened with Luke P was the last instance, but I don't think that ever happened at a rose ceremony.
I've never seen it like that. There's been a couple weird rose ceremony things where, like, the lead might, like, take a minute with someone, or even someone would be like, can I talk to you for a second? Because they know, like, they're probably going home and they need, like, a last-ditch effort or something.
Yeah.
But never like that, especially in front of the group. That was really interesting.
Do you think that was, A, the right thing to do and the right place to do it? Because for in some people's minds... Even like Hannah B, for example, when it was her season, she would be like, this is not your decision to make. I mean, even Caitlin, when Katie kind of went out to talk to Tayshia and Caitlin, she was like, it's your decision, not theirs.
Yeah, which I think is tough because I do think Mike was not, I mean, Mike / the guys weren't saying, hey, you need to send this guy home. This guy sucks. I think they just wanted to make sure she had the information to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was presented in a way where they were trying to make the choice for her. I never think doing those kind of conversations in front of the group are a good idea. I always think they're better to do privately. But then again,
They didn't have the chance.
So, like, I know that with time and stuff, maybe you didn't have it. So I think he kind of needed to do what he just had to do what he had to do. And that's when it was.
Gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah,
Mike took one for the team.
Took one for the team. And I think ultimately, in the end, she really appreciated that. She seems to kind of cut ties with the bullshit pretty quickly.
Yeah, she's not messing around at all.
However, that's TBD with some of the Thomas stuff that comes up later. Correct. Your boy.
Stop.
So we didn't get the rose ceremony last week. Was this worth the extra 10-15 minutes that we didn't receive last week?
I never think so. I think every episode should end with a rose ceremony because I think it's really annoying when they don't.
And that's one of the one things we stand for in this podcast.
In solidarity.
In solidarity.
Together. We all believe it. We've come together.
We've decided that... Every episode should end in a rose ceremony.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let us know if you agree. Let ABC know if you agree, because this needs to change.
Yep, I agree. 100%. It's very annoying to me.
So ultimately, Carl leaves,
so mission accomplished.
Carl rose.
Kyle left,
who looks like every contestant on The Bachelorette ever.
So we'll see him again next time.
Yes. And then John. There's still, like, so many people that... First of all, I didn't know that there were two Connors still.
Nope, I thought they were one.
There was one Connor. I thought the other Connor, which is not Connor B, was sent home night one.
I thought so, too.
And I think this other Connor is Connor C, so, like, they're right next to each other in the alphabet.
It's Connor B and Connor C, yeah.
Yeah, that's yawning. That's too much.
Yeah, I don't
Am
know.
Am I boring you, Allison? No. What the hell? Come on, is this not tired. Entertaining?
Very entertaining.
Jesus Christ.
It's a little tired. I was very emotional. Makes you tired.
And we also went to town on
we
some
We had a
TikTok
lot
cookies.
Of cookies. Crumble cookies. Yeah. Worth the hype.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
They were pretty good. Pretty good. Okay, so we go into what ends up being the only group date of the episode.
It was a very unique group date, unlike one I think I've ever actually seen on the show, where they all sat in a circle with Nick Viall, which is an interesting addition to the date.
Right.
And they all sat in a circle and basically told them, like, look, Katie's not here to mess around. She needs honesty from everyone. So this is the time to share anything from your past.
Yeah, the group date letter said, love is about honesty and I need 100%.
And it
did not
say heart Katie. And they were all up in arms. They all checked the letter to make sure. Like, they were very upset about that. But it was definitely a different kind of group date than usual. So they were all supposed to go around in a circle and share, you know, past either relationships or something about relationships that they wanted to get off their chest. Whether it was about a failed relationship, about infidelity, about ghosting someone, as they pointed
out.
Right,
they make
ghosting
seem... I don't
think that's on
seem,
the same level as...
It's still not like...
I wouldn't recommend it,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, it's still not like a, you know, act of valor by any means, but it's also not like on the same page as infidelity.
You ever ghost people, Evan?
I don't think I've actually ghosted anybody. I've been ghosted numerous times.
Hmm. But you've never ghosted anyone?
No. Not that I've, like, met.
Also, you know what's weird about the term ghosting?
What?
Ghosts are, like, still around.
Yeah. I mean, they're still technically around. So, like, I'm sure you could still...
Isn't there another word that would fit the situation better? Like, ghosts don't disappear. Ghosts are, you know, they're hanging around.
No, but ghosts
they're
can,
spooky.
Like... See, I think the thing with ghosting... We're in our other podcast, Ghost Please, which we just stopped doing randomly without any notice whatsoever. So I think with ghosting, like, say we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine.
Imagine.
Not on a podcast, but, like, in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I'm living and you're living in this relationship. Our souls are in this relationship.
Okay.
And you ghost me. You
okay.
just leave.
Sounds like something
your physical, like, entity and your soul is just leaving this situation. It still exists in this ethereal world.
Interesting.
And it can come back at any point.
I feel like that's just too much, and I feel like there's another way we could describe the situation. Anyway, just want to throw that out there.
It's like an Irish goodbye.
Yeah, it's more like
an
Irish goodbye.
It's an Irish goodbye.
I think that makes more sense. I was Irish goodbye. Like,
yeah.
That's what people should say.
Well, Nick, here's what happened. About 10 years ago, I was in this relationship that I thought was real, and I just kind of Irish goodbye.
Right. That's hilarious.
So, yeah, we dig into a lot of some of the deeper emotional stories from some of the contestants this year.
Wait, speaking of Irish goodbyes, did Carl Irish goodbye...
Oh, yeah.
Did he Irish goodbye Katie in the rose ceremony? Because it looks like he just, like, left.
I have such a hard time believing that someone, like, has that poor of social skills that they would
in
do
that.
Situation. And I think it was editing to make it look like that. At the same time, though, if anyone's going to do it, I could see it being Carl. Based on the little
right?
that we know about him.
Someone we both used to work with, Chris, was a big Irish goodbye guy. He hated goodbyes, and he would just, like, slink away, and no one would know he left.
No one would know.
My current boss, Seth, is an Irish goodbye guy.
Mm.
If he could just escape out of his door, he
what
would just
What if I
that.
Just Irish goodbye during this podcast, and you had to, like, A, not only figure out how to land the plane, but also edit it and upload it and everything?
We would never have a podcast again, because I don't know how to do that.
Okay, so...
Anyway, so they're all... Okay, so back to the emotional group date. So... Hunter
leads off, and he
leads off
strong.
He came in really strong. So he is talking about, so Hunter has two children.
Yes.
And he's talking about how he met his wife, and that was, you know, he knew that that was going to be his wife, and they had two beautiful children, and how he kind of lost himself a little bit, and he got so into work and making work an excuse to not be around that in doing that, he basically destroyed his marriage and relationship.
Yeah.
And how he learned so much from that experience that he knows that he would never do that again because of how much it hurt the first time. And I have to say, like, it was such an awkward, uncomfortable situation. And he went first, I mean, he's really emotional about it. And I think that he set the tone to make sure, which I think it was nice he went first, because I don't know they all would have taken it as seriously if he didn't go first like that. Because then I feel like they would have felt more stupid if they would have said, like, more, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he set the precedent of, like, no, we're being honest. Like, this is me being very authentic. And I really, really applaud him for that and respect that, because I thought that was... Sometimes relationships don't work out, and that's okay. And it's nice that he and others were honest about that and that they want to move forward. And I think that's kind of what the whole point is supposed to be of the show. Yeah.
And this is a buzzword on the show, but he was very vulnerable.
He was.
I actually got a text from my mom during this episode that she hates how the word vulnerable is used so often. Like, can we just go one episode without it? But, like, I think this is an episode where we're allowed to have it. So back off, Melanie.
Don't talk about Melanie.
Let them be vulnerable. Just kidding. Love you, Mom. So, Hunter definitely sets a tone. Like, this is to be taken seriously. There's a lot of gravity to this. I think Connor B. also had a very moving story. Struggled with alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
Had an infidelity issue stem from that. It also seemed like he was just... I mean, with the alcoholism, was sort of a intolerable person to be around, and also just very toxic and poisonous.
Yeah, what I liked about Connor's whole kind of, I don't know, admission, sharing, whatever, was that he was very self-aware. Like, mm-hmm. he was the one, I won't say being hard on himself, but he was the one owning up to his own stuff.
Absolutely.
And he never said, like, oh, because I was... an alcoholic, I cheated on someone. He was like, look, this was a period of time I was in, and alcohol was fueling me to, you know, be this person. I made some bad decisions, and that's not who I am anymore. And I like that he kind of had this full circle kind of situation that he was open to sharing.
Right, and even talked about, like, the process of going through trying to solve it, the therapy, mm-hmm. the self-help. And, like, I don't know if he... is like an AA. I don't know if like he's,
and that's certainly not things he needs
like
to share.
Like, if he's staying sober, he doesn't have to. So I just think that, you know, where, and he even says, like, if I look back, I am not the same person that I was.
Well, I think it's really important in the show and in life in general to note that people can self-reflect and they can go to therapy and they can change their behaviors and patterns.
Yes.
And it's good, and I think we should all encourage people to, if they mess up or do something, they're not condemned to that forever, and that they mm-hmm. should, you know, that it's nice when people get when they take the chance and they do go through the work and effort to be the person they want to be. So I think that's nice that we saw some of those kind of full circle moments with some of these guys.
Yeah. One of the less, like, a full circle moment that we saw... came from your boy.
Stop saying that. He's not my boy.
Look, check the tapes from last week. You were gushing over Thomas.
Listen, Thomas was basically saying he smiled the whole time.
With the exception of your husband, who's a wonderful human being.
Thomas, he basically was saying, like, look, Katie, just so you know, like, I didn't come here for you. You weren't the one I, like, chose to come here for or anything like that. And I have to say, his delivery wasn't great, but I think that he's not wrong. Most people are lying when they're like, I only wanted to come if it was you. They're just saying that. They were going to come regardless of who it was. And sometimes they didn't even know when they were cast. So it's a lie. So I don't know that that was the time to say that. And I'm sure he could have dug something up. Mm-hmm. And then he made a comment about, like, I have tons of red flags. And if you want to hear about them, I'll tell you about them. Which ended up biting him in the ass a little bit later on.
Yeah.
So that was the Aaron thing. I think it kind of rubbed everyone the wrong way. Everyone's kind of looking at him like, dude, that didn't mean anything. Like, we're all being really vulnerable here.
I do think it didn't match the
energy that everyone else was bringing. And then, so after everyone had shared, Katie herself actually shared a really, really vulnerable, sorry to say that again, story about her own kind of sexual assault situation that she had 10 years prior, and kind of the learning that she had from that, and how she was, you know, she didn't really know that that's what it was at the time, and it took her some time to realize. And she's had a really hard time getting to where she is today, and how everyone sees her as such a sex positive woman, but it's been a long time getting herself to that place. And I think that the guys were really touched that she shared that. I mean, that's not something anyone ever has to share, so it was really, it was great that she was so comfortable, because that's something that can help a lot of people to hear those stories.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I will say that I felt this way the whole time, but then when she said that, I was so uncomfortable that Nick Viall was there, because everyone is sharing such deep, really emotional, personal stuff, and then Katie to end it like that, and Nick provided no value to this date.
He did not have to be there. It could have been...
Why was he there?
Literally anybody else, or it could have been no one else. Like,
I kind of think it could have just been no one.
Yeah.
Or Tayshia and Caitlin, since you're the host. Like, why was Nick even there?
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense.
And Nick was the runner-up on Caitlin Bristow's season of The Bachelorette.
Do you think Nick does something else later on?
I kind of hope so. What a waste of quarantine and, like, coming there for 5 minutes to just be like, guys, share your stories, and then not say anything else. Yeah. Whatever, I don't know.
I bet we end up seeing more of him.
Yeah.
So at the cocktail parties, well, one thing I want to talk about, just from like a aesthetic point of view, of this group date, like it was, I'm not used to seeing this sort of scenery. Like it was almost all black backgrounds. It looked
it was
like
an interrogation room.
It looked like, yeah, or like an intervention type of thing. Like from like a TV viewing standpoint, it wasn't the best.
Mm-mm.
However, it was very...
But I think it was good for what it was.
It was, yeah, it was one
no
of the more...
There were distractions from the conversation.
It was, which I think is what ended up being the intent behind that, is because you don't always get the gravity of these types of things on this show. You usually get the exact opposite. And this really hammered home like some good lessons that I think people can learn. Anyway, so on the cocktail party, ultimately, the Katie and Thomas like interaction was sort of the star of the show here.
Mm-hmm.
Because she tried to kind of dig for more of these red flags.
Thomas just straight up wouldn't answer.
I mean,
dodging the question.
He was like Neo in the Matrix with those bullets, which I know you know that reference.
Yeah,
because you've seen that movie.
I love the Matrix.
Yeah, big mm-hmm. Keanu Reeves fan.
Love it. Love
yeah.
him. Yeah.
Big Morpheus guy too, right?
Uh huh. Yeah, for sure. So all of that. And, I mean, he wasn't answering any of the questions.
No.
It was clear that he was avoiding something, or that he just said the red flag thing to get a rise at the moment, and then he didn't have anything to back it up. Katie was seeing that, but... So, whatever, that ended, and then Thomas ended up grabbing her again.
Yeah,
Interrupting Aaron, and Aaron's pissed. And in this conversation, Thomas was kind of like, just so you know, I'm, like, falling for you, and... I fear and love are the
He's
same.
He's trying to salvage, yeah.
But she fell for it, and she was, like, into it, and they were making out and whatever. So Thomas feels good about that. And then, which, by the way, he looks like Carlos Pena Vega. If anyone knows who that is, he looks a lot like him. Look it up. And then, so the group date rose thing. I have to say, I really hate how they, like, mention three people or four people and then pick one.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that. Just... give it to the person.
It's very like Top Chef though, which like it that's the
like
one
it.
Part of it I like, where like they're given the here's what you did right on this dish.
I don't like it. So then okay. Evan and I were both like, it has to go to Connor or Hunter. They're the only two that gave any sort of meaningful, like really meaningful stories, and like, you know, they really vulnerable, like did not have to share that on national TV stories.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately Connor got the rose, which I think it was nice, because I think it was hard for him to obviously share his whole story. So I think that was nice. Like, he was really relieved to kind of get that rose and have another week. And I think we were talking about this too. Connor, I think, is very, very genuine with his feelings. He's a little of bit of an oddball, but Katie really likes that.
Yes.
So
yeah, yeah.
I see Connor going very far.
Yeah. I want to talk about, I think we did this in a previous season, but we're going to do some right reasons rankings.
Oh, okay.
Later on. And I think Connor's pretty high in that, but we're going to talk about that later. So, yeah, Connor B gets a group rose. Like I said, it had to be, or like you said, it had to be between him and Hunter. David
yep.
was also in the mix in top three there.
Who we did not even know who David was. I'm low key still
100%
don't
know
who David
know is. Why. But good for him. Good for David. There's no red flags with David that I've.
Not yet, because I don't know
there's
anything
also,
about him.
Yeah, there's no,
other, flags,
there's
period.
No flags whatsoever.
So let's talk about what I really want to talk about.
Yes, go ahead. I'll give you the floor.
So the one-on-one with Michael. So Michael...
I will say, sorry for interrupting already.
God, Evan.
But
kill
like
you.
The first 2 weeks were like, why is this dude here?
Yeah,
like,
we're like, Michael, like there's no connection with them. Like, what is he doing?
And how dumb.
Boy,
did,
are
how
we
dumb,
stupid.
We're the biggest idiots.
We are dumb. So earlier on in the episode, Michael was talking with a couple of the other guys, the other Mike and then somebody else. And he was kind of talking about this situation with his wife that had passed away. And she was his, like, childhood or high school sweetheart. And, or no, he said college. He met her on college campus, like, yeah. His freshman year. They got married and they had a son. And then, like, only months after the son was born, she was diagnosed with breast cancer and then passed away about two and a half years ago, which was emotional to begin with, obviously. So then he gets picked for the one-on date, and I was so happy that he was picked because I'm like, I really want to see him have some time with Katie and see what's going on. So they did a weird date where they were in like a car and they were just stupid off-roading right. stuff that they always feel like they need to do, and it doesn't really even look that fun. But then they're chatting a little bit, and it was clear they're starting to connect, but like it's still a little bit like getting to know you kind of deal. And he had maybe the best line in Bachelor history during their little like hangout.
I think you're jumping to that. Yeah, because that was sort of midway through. Like
What else do you want to say?
He begins. Oh, I guess he did say it kind of early. If I'm looking at my notes,
Evan Lowe interrupts me and then agree with me.
So I think okay, they were talking about the reason he was there and his son and everything, and like I think what was also pretty striking is that he said that his son deserves the happiest dad. And the biggest yeah. reason that he went on the show is because he wanted to take this risk and like do this opportunity that he never would have had to do. And like, this is a legitimate opportunity for him to find love again.
Yes. And at this point, Katie doesn't know the whole backstory yet of like what happened to his wife and all of this, but right. he's really talking a lot about his son. And you can just tell how much he loves his son. Like yeah. his face would light up every time he was talking about James.
Yeah.
His son, not the guy in the box, just to be clear about.
But also, he probably loves him too.
Maybe he likes him too. I don't know. So, am I in your way or something, sir?
No.
Okay, jeez. Okay, so then I want to make sure I'm doing this line justice, but he said, I know that everyone always says that this ends in an engagement, but to be honest, it really begins with an engagement. And Katie was just like, first of all, we all were blown away. What a perfect, it's so simple.
How did everyone miss it?
Everyone says it every season. This ends in engagement, this ends in engagement. The fact that all he said was, no, it begins with an engagement. I was like, oh,
it's making me rethink every philosophy I have. I want to take every philosophy I have on life
and just twist it.
Give me the old Michael twist.
And Katie was like, oh my God, that was beautiful. Like yeah. it just caught her so off guard. And she was like, oh my God, like that is perfect. And it was a perfect line. It might be the best one-liner anyone's ever had in the show. Something I learned about Michael during this date is he's very careful with the way he speaks. And I like that about him. Like he's very careful about his choice of words. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's a guy who says exactly what he means.
Right. He wants to convey, he doesn't just want to say the right thing that the other person wants to hear. He wants to say the thing that conveys his feelings the best. I think is why his word choice is so impeccable.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. So at that moment, I think Katie's starting to realize, oh, wow, this guy is really legit here. So then they're kissing and she's like, can I kiss you? And she's like, yes, absolutely. And so they're having their time, whatever. And then they go to dinner. Okay. So they go to dinner and he starts opening up about his wife and he talks about his story with her and her passing away and how hard that was and how he's ready to give himself another chance at love and how lucky he could be to find love twice in his life. And, you know, Katie, oh man. Okay. So then Katie's talking about how, you know, some people might be intimidated to kind of go up against this forever love that he's always going to have with his wife, Laura. And he explains it again, and the way he speaks is just so beautiful. And he says to her, like, basically, I'm always going to love her, but if we get a chance to develop a love, it's going to be unique and it's going to be its own love. It's not going to be a comparable thing. It's going to be existing in its own way.
Yeah.
And that really, really, like, struck a chord with Katie. And she was like, it's so beautiful.
And with us.
And with God, I'm already crying. At this point in the show, I'm crying.
Yeah. I don't think I've actually seen you cry during the show before. I've seen it.
It doesn't really happen. Like I get emotional at the proposals.
Yeah.
And that's about it. But this really got me. And it was just so beautiful. The whole exchange was so beautiful. And I think Katie was really, really honor that he was sharing this with her, not only the story, but also the experience, and that she was the first person he was allowing himself to get, you know, take a chance with. And, you know, him talking about these separate loves, how they can both exist. I mean, you're looking at Katie in her confessional, and she's sobbing, and Michael's sobbing. We're all sobbing, honestly. Which I do want to point out, this is a good time to say this, is that several times during this, Michael is like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And she's like, you don't need to be sorry, you don't need to be sorry. We all as a group, as a society, as a...
In solidarity,
need to stop apologizing for feeling emotional. Because I know whenever I'm like crying in a situation that you're not expected to cry at, that's the first thing I do, is I'm like, I'm an emotional person. I wear my emotions on my sleeves. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, like, I'm sorry for crying. Why am I sorry? I'm not sorry for crying. If I'm emotional, that's okay. People are allowed to just feel emotions when they feel them. Mm-hmm. And you never need to apologize for it. Most of the time, you can't even control it anyway. And I just think that's something as a group we all need to try to not do.
Yes, that is 100% correct. Could not have said it any better myself. I also, one line also that Michael said that I think was super strong, and that he kind of has the one up on everybody else, is he's like to Katie, I know what it's like to love. And I think like her understanding that he can provide something, mm-hmm. and he's experienced something that no one else has, that it's something that she is seeking, is big time.
And some of their guests have had love, but he's had a love that lasted till death did them part. I mean, honestly, yeah. Like they were sweethearts from a young age. They were together for a long time, and he had a love that lasted several years with the same woman, and he's ready to have that kind of love in its own unique way with someone else. And I think that's really beautiful. And then another really beautiful thing, so many beautiful things, is obviously at the end of this date, Katie gave him a rose. And when she gave him the rose, she said, I understand the weight of this rose that I give you every week, because I'm not just giving it to you, I'm giving it to James also.
Ugh.
Oh, God. Ugh. I'm going to tear up again just saying it. And then you could see Michael's face just be like, oh, my gosh, like, she gets it. Like, she understands that, like, that's what's happening here, and that's bigger than just me, and it's bigger than this rose and the show, that, like, people's lives are really affected by this. And she's not just giving a guy a rose if she thinks it might have a thing. She's giving it to a man who has a child who lost his mother as mm-hmm. well, and she, you know, he wants a wife and a mother figure for this child. So I mean, there's a lot on that. So I just, it was really beautiful all around. Like, best one-on-one date ever.
It is really hard to kind of predict where it's gonna go, because I can see it happening a couple ways. I can see one, that he and Katie end up together.
Yeah.
I think like he's definitely saying the right things, not just saying it just to say it, but like saying it and meaning it. Like, he is a gem of a human being.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's rare, I feel like, that we see that much of somebody.
Right. And like if you watch the after the credits part, like they were goofing too. Like, they have good chemistry.
The stars, like, it felt like it flowed so nicely. I feel like, yes, they were goofing, they're looking at the stars, joking around. And I said this to Evan during the episode, but I think that date and that conversation catapulted them so far ahead of any other relationship she has on the show.
Yeah,
times a million.
They're miles ahead. I think, too, back to the point I was making, though, is I can also see it getting to where, I don't know, Katie says that she's open to, you know, marrying someone with kids already.
Mm-hmm.
She might not know that for sure. I mean,
right, she might not.
She is in a very different life stage still from what Michael is in. And she ultimately might be looking for someone else. And like, that's not, we want everyone to find love on this show.
Of course.
But if it's not going to work out for them in the long run, for their
maximum
happiness.
Hopefully she does figure that out, you know, sooner rather than later. So
yes.
So no one's time. And I think she would, because I think that she knows what she wants quickly. And I think she respects him so much. She would never waste a second of his time he could be with his son if she thinks that it wouldn't work out.
Also, what a coincidence that the very like dad heavy episode came after Father's Day.
Aww, I wonder if they did that on purpose.
I'm sure they did.
I bet they did.
I'm sure they timed it out that way.
I bet they did.
They're like, guys, this episode's coming out around Father's Day.
We're gonna make it a father.
Talk about your kids.
I will say, though, I know this is not the point, and we're literally about to talk about it, but like, if Michael does not end up with Katie, I could really see him becoming the Bachelor, just from a fan favorite standpoint right now. Right off
the bat. Because he's definitely too good of a human for Paradise.
Absolutely not. He won't go to Paradise. But it's he's definitely
Mesnick vibes.
Yeah, he has Jason Mesnick vibes. Mesnick vibes. And I feel like where he's like a normal freaking dude that has a kid that's looking for love. And like everyone in America fell in love with Michael tonight and just felt so touched by that whole thing. So I'm excited about Michael. I really am.
I am too.
See what comes from that.
Yeah. So the episode ends. We don't even get a second group date.
Yeah, this episode
let alone a rose ceremony. I will say, as much as we pine for at least two group dates and definitely a rose ceremony, I'll let them get away with it.
I was glad that the most of the time was taken up by the Michael date, because the Michael date was really important.
Yeah, and unpacking the emotional stories.
Yeah,
from
those are important,
Katie
and those,
and
we don't see enough of the real on this show or any reality show. So yeah. I thought that was great.
We do get a little bit of confrontation at the end. Hunter in particular kind of calls out Thomas in front of all the guys. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned it. It gets tough because I don't really think that Thomas's train of thought is incorrect. I actually think it's a very rational approach to how you go on this show, how most people will go on this show.
Yep.
Because basically he's like, I don't know Katie. I don't know.
Well, the whole thing was Hunter said, tell us, did you or did you not at one point think about you might come on the show and become The Bachelor? And I think if any of them say no to that, maybe except for Michael, they're lying. Because everyone that goes on the show, you don't know if you're going to like this person until you meet them. You might not even know who it is yet. So it's unrealistic to say that all of them going on this show... Obviously, the bonus, the great, you know, side thing is that you do find someone you like.
Exactly.
Or love. But you more often than not are not going to end up with them, and you're going to be an influencer, or you're going to get on Paradise, you're going to something. So I think it's okay for him to think that. I don't know if the way he answers questions is great.
He didn't handle it very well.
But I don't necessarily think that, like, that makes him a trash human, because he was honest in saying that, like, yes, the thought crossed his mind.
Yes. Okay, so as teased earlier, we're going to go through some right reasons rankings.
Okay.
And I'm just going to name people from this season.
Okay, I'm not going to remember half of them because I don't know anyone's names.
Well, I'll make it the guys that we know, which is like two of them.
Great.
Because there is like a sea of the dudes that were just like, wait, who is this? Why are they here?
Yes, exactly.
So on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being... they're clearly there for the wrong reasons, or 10, they are there for the right reasons. They're looking for love, and that's their main and only focus.
Okay.
We'll start with an easy one. Michael.
1,000.
1,000. Perfect. Love it. Connor B. Mm.
8 or 9.
I was going to say 8. There's a little...
There's something.
There's a sprinkle... of Jed.
But I still feel mostly good about him as of now, at least. So
yeah, there's just like the Nashville musician thing.
And I'm
like
trying to not let TikTok skew me, but TikTok so far hates everyone. So
right, okay. Well, that's a good point. So another TikTok person that we talked about last week, Greg, who was almost MIA this entire episode.
I only saw him in the hot tub at the beginning for like 2 seconds when I couldn't hear any of the audio because it was too loud.
Yeah.
I mean, as of last week. Okay, TikTok aside, I would have said Greg was like 8 or 9.
Okay.
TikTok's making me feel like 6. It's not looking too great. Maybe closer to the 5-6 range.
Wow.
But I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold out and try not to let TikTok skew my
that's
opinion
fair
on it. But he wasn't even barely in this episode, so.
Aaron.
5.
Yeah.
Because I think he's annoying. I think he's a bit of a hothead, but I don't know if he's like... bad.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of other people.
Thomas.
Let's say Andrew S.
10.
10, okay. I like
just
that.
Just from their one conversation, I think it's pretty damn clear that Andrew S. is here, and I hope he gets one-on-one next week.
Yeah. I think, so we revealed in the first episode that he's Clay Harbor's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 9. I think he kind of knows the space that, operates around the Bachelor character.
Mm-hmm.
He might want some of that fame.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's like just a small little inkling in him.
Yep.
Okay, let's see. Who else do we have this season? Hunter, a.k.a. Taylor Notner.
I would give Hunter, like, an 8.
Okay.
I feel like he's pretty authentic, and, like, I think that he was very vulnerable, and I like that about him.
Yeah, yeah, I'm down with that. He's gone, but what do you think Carl's right reasons
negative
right?
Negative 25.
Yeah, I would say that's the case.
I can't even believe he's a motivational speaker. Like, he would not be able to motivate me to do anything at all.
Except to ask him to leave.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Mike, the virgin. Not to be confused with Jane.
Which is a great show, by the way.
Yeah,
Of
course.
Too soon to tell. I don't know. I'm going to say 7.
Okay, yeah.
Because... He seems like a nice guy. I don't think he's right for Katie, but he seems nice enough. I just don't know him very well.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair.
I have no reason to doubt him.
That's
yet.
Fair. I will say, pretty much everyone else seems like kind of just...
Everyone else I don't really even know or care about. Yeah, they're all the same, yeah.
Yeah, there's a good chance that, you know, people will kind of show up a little bit later, almost like the Cassie edit from Colton season.
I will say it's interesting, though, what I'm noticing about this season... so far is that, like, episode 1 I was very, like, unimpressed by everyone, and I was like, man, but every week I'm starting to, like, someone out of the woodwork is starting to become like a person I really care about, like,
right, by Fantasy Suites we're gonna be in love with Courtney,
right. I mean, honestly, like, Andrew S didn't know shit about him until last week, and now I love him.
Yeah,
Michael, I'm freaking team Michael all day because of today. Like, and I didn't even think twice about either of them week 1. Like,
I think I remember saying, why is this guy on this show?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I think every week, or as the weeks go on, we're going to continue to meet people and get to know them and be like, okay, wow, they're actually really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, I agree with all of that. So previews for upcoming episodes.
Yeah, it looks like Blake comes next week, and it's going to be really interesting that Tayshia, who dated Blake, gets to be the one to let Katie know, quote-unquote, gets to be the one to let Katie know, like, surprise, like, Blake Moynes is here. I'm really intrigued to see how far he makes it.
What's your predicted right reason ranking for? I guess it's right reason rating, really. What's your triple R for Blake? Hmm. Or your
I'll say a 6 to 7.
4.
I would say
4.
A 6, because Clout I think chaser. That... I think that Blake literally just was on Tayshia's season, and it feels like, I know that in real life that was a little bit ago,
mm-hmm.
but he was so into Claire, he didn't know if he could stay. Then he was so into Tayshia, and now he's going to be so into Katie. I'm like, are you just trying to be on every season? I don't know. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I can see them maybe having similar senses of humor too, so we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. He's like... sexual humor in a very...
But in like an immature boy, like middle school boy way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I was never super crazy about him anyways.
He was fine.
I also don't like the recycling of like people from earlier seasons.
No, like when Heather showed up to Matt's season was so weird, like so stupid.
Yeah. They're just trying to... Again, it goes back to them not being able to... We hashed this out last season, but they can't travel, so they're trying to...
Correct.
...create some sort of intrigue here.
That's exactly it.
So, looks like the season picks up. Looks like we continue to fall in love with these guys more and more.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
I think it's picking up.
It is picking up.
Definitely picking up.
And we're going to put down this episode...
Did you have a rose that you wanted to share with the group?
No, I actually don't.
I was too emotional. I didn't even think about one.
I didn't want to put the pressure on either of us because it was a emotionally draining episode.
Yeah, it was too emotional. I did not have the energy to come up with anything else, so I'm glad that you agree. But thank you for listening to this episode, and you can check us out on social media at BatchPleasePod on Twitter and Insta, and you can email us batchpleasepod@gmail.com. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.